around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome each of you today to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's Tuesday, September the 24th, 2019. What a great joy it is for us to be with you today and to share from the Word of God. I certainly hope and I pray that you're being immensely blessed. The continuation of this series that we began months ago, literally, on the depravity of man. And I wanted to point out with clarity how depraved mankind is. But we never want to leave anyone hopeless. Therefore, we're teaching on salvation. And then we'll get into the subject of repentance and redemption further on into this series. But people need to understand the depravity that man possesses. Now, of course, people don't want to admit that, but Paul the Apostle made it clear in Romans 7:18, "For I say that in me, that is my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing." Then he said in Romans 7:24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He knew unless Christ intervened in his mortality and his spirituality, he would die lost. Who shall deliver me? Remember, salvation means deliverance. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Not just the natural death of dying in the physical. The application is spiritual death. Spiritual death. Of course, you're not going to hear today's modern Christian purported preachers or teachers teach you with any depth because they don't seek the face and the counsel of God. And therefore, they have no unction to function in that manner. I do want to remind you again of the Great White Throne Judgment and the Lake of Fire DVD series that we have concluded. They'll bless your heart and life immensely. Revelation chapter 12 explained thoroughly. We thoroughly explain all of that. Daniel's 70th week and the son of perdition. That is an insightful, enlightening series, if I must say so. So we've redone our Great Tribulation or the Wrath of God DVDs. We've updated them this summer. We did a total of 5 different series this summer. So God has been gracious to help us, to empower us. But before we get into the program today, I do want to remind you of our revival meeting. Our revival meeting, April 16th through the 19th, 2020, at Hickory Metro Convention Center, Hickory, North Carolina. Go to our website and register. I'll be there. Steve Quell will be there. Jimmy D. Smith will be there. Russ Dizdar will be there. I've invited Doug Hagman to be there. So we're hoping that you will participate and be a part of this. And we're praying about some other things as well. So we encourage you to pray for us. We're looking to book the auditorium in Rome, Georgia, October of 2020. And to go out and meet the people of God and have church services and revival meetings to strengthen the hand of every child of God. And of course, we want to win the lost. And so on Sundays of these revival meetings, the doors are open to everyone on Sunday morning worship services. So you can bring friends, family members. They don't have to register. It doesn't cost anything. But if you want to be a part of the Friday and Saturday teaching from the other men of God, there is a registration fee of $100 to cover the expenses of renting the building, sound equipment, all the other things that are needed to put together a meeting such as this, cover the expenses of the speakers, motel housing expenses, et cetera, et cetera. But on Sundays, if you don't have your wristband, that's not necessary. You can come in Sunday mornings to the worship service. That will be free of charge to whosoever will. Before we get into the scriptures today, I want to play a song by the Gold City Quartet. Beautiful song, simply entitled, All My Hope is in Jesus. What have you placed your hope in today? I pray you've put your hope in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Certainly, only the blood of Jesus can take away sin. If you think anything else can take away sin, then Christ's blood was shed in a vain and worthless manner. And whether you know that or not, I know it. What can take away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The power, Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 7:14, who are these? He said, sir, thou knowest. He said, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and through the word of their testimony. It's the blood of Jesus that atones for sin. Again, we've been addressing the thought of salvation. How that David said in Psalms 3 and verse 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Therefore, it is a gift to you and I. You can't merit it. You can't earn it. You cannot work it out. It's the mercy of God that saved each of us. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he hath saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Something Christ does, nothing that you and I could ever remotely do. As I said, salvation many times, both in the Hebrew and the Greek, speaks of deliverance, how God delivers his people. And we shared yesterday about singing, worshiping, praising, magnifying unto the Lord. Now I want to go to Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 15. Notice what God says to Israel and the man of God. Exodus chapter 14, beginning at verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone. That's the way a lot of people are in the church world today. Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. That is synonymous with Psalms 46, verse 10, where David said, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we need to be still and let God be God. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation or the deliverance of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Let me paraphrase verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Let me paraphrase that where you might better understand it. Quit crying. Quit whining. Nobody likes whiners, criers. But that's what we have. That's what we witness with Israel wanting to go back to Egypt and die there. And if you'll go back to Exodus chapter 5, you will see them as they were telling Moses, let us alone. Now that you've gone into Pharaoh's court, you've made our lives even more worse. Now we have to still make the same tail or number of bricks. You see the word tail there in Exodus 5. That word tail means number. We still got to make the same number of bricks that we made before, but now we have to gather our own straw. Let me say this. This will upset a few, but that's okay. There have been lazy people from day one. Just flat out lazy people. I witness it. You witness it. They were there in the days of the Exodus. They're crying. They're whining. Moses, if he was not careful, would fall into the same snare and the same trap of whining and complaining. And thus the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Quit crying. What was the command? That they go forward. When will we, as blood-bought, born again, believers, saints of the Most High God, quit crying and go forward. Go forward, he said. We get paralysis in our Christian walk. We get paralysis. We become inundated with fear, trepidation, anxiety. I can't go, Pastor. I can't fight. I just can't go anymore. Then what you're saying is, I'm quitting. I'm quitting. Well, let me tell you something. If you quit, you're not going to make it. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. He said, quit crying unto me. Wherefore criest thou? Why are you crying? We are all guilty of limiting the power of God in our own personal lives. Just because God doesn't move, as soon as we start whining and crying, sometimes we get discouraged and say, oh God, you're not going to help me. God, you're not going to be with me. God, you're not going to guide me. God, you're not going to comfort me. How does God then build our faith? How can we grow in grace and in knowledge? How can we grow in faith? How can we grow to the degree that we trust God for everything? Psalms chapter 7, verse 1. In thee, O Lord God, do I put my trust. Too many times we fail to trust God. Trust is synonymous with faith. I believe you, Lord. Job had it. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. He said he wasn't accusing God of slaying him. If he were to slay me, I'd still trust him, he said. Now, that's because Job had an unimaginable love and affinity for Jehovah. Doesn't matter where it is, how bad it is, painful, how much grief, sorrow is associated with it. Still going to trust God. Still going to hold on to God. Still going to magnify the Lord. That was the words of the Apostle Paul. You see, he understood that no matter how or where he found himself, God would always be faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If as a Christian you only have hope in Jesus, faith in Christ, in this present world, meaning in the next world, we don't have any hope. We don't have any Jesus. We don't have a Savior. Paul said, we're the most miserable people. Why? Because our faith would be in vain. Our trust would be in vain. Our trust, our hope, our confidence in Christ would be worthless. But we know the facts. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, We are of all men, of all people in the earth, of all people in the world, we're the most miserable because our hope, our faith is worthless. It's in vain. It's meaningless. Has no purpose. You may not sense God today while listening to this program. You may be burdened. You may be beleaguered. You may be troubled. There may be pain in your body. You may be under a time of emotional grief and distress. You may have marital strife. You may be in a state of separation, a state of contemplating divorce, a state of a wayward child, a wayward spouse, a boss, an employer that is so arduous and difficult to work for. But see, that does not negate God's hand on your life. I've never suffered the way the Apostle Paul suffered, beaten, robbed, peril, countrymen, peril, water, shipwreck, you name it. But there have been times in my life, things weren't so hunky-dory either. Did I quit? No. Did I abandon God? No. Did my faith wane? Sometimes it did. But I always love to say to the Lord, I never quit. I may have lost a half a step. I may have been discouraged and said, you know what, I'm just discouraged to the point I won't pray today. I'm tired. I suppose to some degree I am defeated. You're not the only one that's ever been in that boat. Elijah wanted God to kill him. He said, they've torn down the altars, they've slain the prophets, I'm the only one left. Peter curses and swears and lies. He doesn't know Jesus, he says. Noah got off the ark, what does he do? He goes and gets drunk. Abraham lies about Sarah. He tells them she's his sister, not his wife. The Bible is so chock full of men that failed God. Lot committed incest, yet Peter says his righteous soul was vexed daily. I still grapple with that verse. I do. 2 Peter chapter 2. I grapple with it. I'm not going to lie. David murdered a man. David committed adultery. Yet the Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. I'm saying that to tell you, God understands the fragility, the weakness, the ineptness in your life at times. God doesn't abandon you because you fail. David said, though a man fall, in Psalms 37, 23 through 25, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him. God's even holding you up. When you're in your pool of self-pity, he's still holding you up. Israel's whining. God said, quit crying and go forward. I was in a public place the other day, and this little three-year-old kid was crying and screaming, and I told my wife, I said, if that was my child, buddy, I'd give him something to cry about. Not one tear, not one drop of water on his face. He's just pitching a tantrum. As I was told when I was growing up, you keep on, I'll give you something to cry about. That's the way Christians are today. It's all about, if it's not about blessing, 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 I don't want anything to do with God. Well, you sure hadn't put your hand to the plow. Luke 9:62, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. When you put your hand to the gospel plow to say, Lord, I will follow you. He said, if you look back, I didn't say this, he said this. He said, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. So it takes a measure of fitness. And I'm not talking about physical fitness. I'm talking about spiritual fitness into the kingdom of God. Let's go on. Deuteronomy chapter 32, beginning at verse 12. So the Lord did lead him, Israel, / Jacob, and there was no strange God with him. No strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. He made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, or butter of cows, and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grapes. The word blood there typifies the redness of the grape juice, or purple, whichever one you want to call it. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. For he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. How many times has prosperity and blessings caused the people of God to turn away from God? You see the same story, only in the New Testament version, in Revelation chapter 3. The Laodicean church says, we're rich, we're increased with goods, we have need of nothing. God said, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. Now, this is a spiritual application. They were fat with the worldly goods, but they were lean, they were barren with spiritual power and anointing and spirituality in their lives. Revelation 3:15-16, Christ says, I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God loathes tepidness, indifference, lukewarmness. He doesn't embrace whiners. Oh, God, you brought me here and you're going to let me die. See, if they had kept their mind on the promises of God with Abraham, they would have known God would have got them to their destiny. You need to know God's going to get his church through the tempest and through the storm, because the church is the body of Christ. God's going to get the church through the tempest, through the storm. God's going to get his people through, just like Israel was his church in the wilderness, according to Acts 7:38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. In Revelation 19, 8 through 10, when it says there, she hath made herself ready. He's not talking about the church. The church is not feminine. The church is masculine, because the church is the body of Christ. We're flesh of his flesh, bone of his bones. When it says there in Revelation, I think I said 8, 19 and 7, Revelation 19, verse 7, and his wife hath made herself ready. He's talking about Israel. She's come back. Jeremiah 30 and verse 7, the time of Jacob's trouble. She hath made herself ready. She has repented. Now she's willing to accept Messiah as her Savior. I have all of this in the book I wrote, The New Jerusalem Bride and the Mystery of the Church. That's why the church is a mystery. The bride's not a mystery. The bride is New Jerusalem. Revelation 21:2, Revelation 21:9. It's not a mystery. Many mysteries. That's not a mystery. Prosperity. I was telling Stephen in the office this morning, I was up about 3:30 the other morning, and I was grazing the Christian television stations. Mike Murdoch said, I've made 47 millionaires. They've sown into this ministry, and I've made 47 millionaires. I thought, so what's that got to do with redemption, forgiveness, and salvation? I had rather heard him say, I've won 47 souls to Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. But oh, no. No, I've made millionaires. You see where people's mind is? Money, prosperity, blessings. God gave all of that to Jacob and Israel. Yeah, just gave it to them. Now, here in Deuteronomy chapter 32, when he uses the phrase Jezreel, that is another name for Israel, which simply means to be upright. Let's look at that again. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15. But Jezreel waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Now, those are just adjectives describing the bountiful, plenteous blessings, prosperity of God on a nation. But then he says, then he forsook God, which made him, and he lightly esteemed, he lightly regarded the rock of his salvation. In other words, the prosperity, the blessings, those are much more than you, God. Yet God has given the prosperity to the people. And this is why the prosperity becomes idolatry. First John 5 and 19 or First John 5 and 21. My little children, keep yourselves from idols. You see, people have the tendency to turn the blessing of God into an idol. Thus, it becomes covetous. You don't have to preach prosperity to be blessed. You don't have to preach prosperity to have the blessings of God. He tells us there in Deuteronomy chapter 32. He said he became thick, he became fat, he became great. I did all this for him. Why? Because I loved him. But what did he do in return? He forgot me. He forsook me. He lightly regarded me. He lightly esteemed me. That's the modern church today. They're pompous. They're proud. They're arrogant. They're self-righteous. Israel kicked, or Israel trampled underfoot the goodness and blessings of Jehovah. So many people, this is why modern Christianity cannot handle prosperity or the blessings of God, because they get fat and sassy and lazy. They quit praying, they quit fasting, they quit pursuing, they quit chasing God. They chase the blessing and not the blesser. Oh, I want the blessing. I want the money. Larae's, my youngest daughter's boss man, told her today, I can have anything I want, buy anything I want, car, truck, house, it doesn't matter. But he said, I'm not happy. And I told my wife, Kim, I said, that's because he doesn't have the relationship with Jesus he needs. Jesus fills all in all. Jesus makes you full. Jesus doesn't make you sassy. David said, my cup runneth over. That's not a literal physical cup. It's a spiritual cup. It's the blessing of the Lord. It's the blessing of the Lord. And so many people today, just like Israel in the wilderness, God calls him Jezreel, which was an adjective. It's a proper noun, but it's also describing the uprightness that Israel, Jacob, once possessed. But because of the prosperity, He got sassy. But Jeshurun waxed fat. He kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8 and 9. Solomon said, Lord, feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? That's the disposition. That is the mindset of modern Christendom. Who is God? What can God do? All of these preachers, all of these so-called Christian musicians and singers, they're all departing from the faith. They're saying, I don't believe it anymore. It was a hoax. It was a sham. They never had a relationship with him. They did it for the money. They did it for the prestige. They did it for entertainment. People sing for entertainment. People put on meetings for entertainment. Listen, that's why we're changing our meetings to revival. We're not there to entertain you. We're there to preach the Word of God, to minister the Word of God. If you're lost, we want you to be saved. If you're saved and redeemed, we want you to be edified and blessed. But we're not here at the Voice of Evangelism. We're not here about entertaining you. You can get that anywhere. You can get that at any jackleg church in America. You can get that at any conference in America. Let me tell you something about these conferences. They don't preach redemption, and they certainly don't preach repentance. It's all about knowledge, 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 knowledge. Listen, if you knew everything and you still lost your soul, what has it profited you? Daniel 12 and 4, knowledge would increase. The Bible says this is going to happen, but not in a good way. And when it says knowledge would increase and they would run to and fro, that phrase to and fro means they are apostatizing. They're departing from the faith. They're running to heresy. They're embracing fallacy. They're loving lies, and they're going to be damned in the end. Let me remind you again today, friend. The way is straight. The way is narrow. And few there be that find it. Bob Jones, God bless him, he's dead, he's gone now. But he had a vision. He was in heaven. Listen to this statistic. This is what he said he saw in heaven. Out of every 100 people trying to get into heaven, 97, he said, went to hell, and 3 made it into heaven. 3. He didn't want to come back. God said, you got to go back. You got to preach repentance. 97% went to hell. So when Christ says the way is straight, the way is narrow, and few there be that find it, let me tell you, the Bible said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Just because somebody tells you they are a Christian, but a jag, a sodomite, who plays a feminine role because he calls his lover his husband, he says he's a Christian. He says he's a Christian. Wants to give you Bible verses about taking care of the poor. What about the Bible verses that says it's a sin for a man to burn with lust in his heart, men with men and women with women, and working and doing that which is unseemly, Paul said. Oh, we don't believe that part of the Bible. God's not in that judgment. God's not in sending people to hell. And if God was a Christian, as he well said, he wouldn't be a Republican. This is where we're at. Let me tell you something about God. God is not a Christian. He's God. He's God. I don't set the standards. I don't set the parameters. I don't set the do's and the don'ts and must not. God sets that. And there are people today who've tried to change the truth of God into a lie. Romans 1 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Romans 1:25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. Romans 1:28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Need I say more? Worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. Can you imagine a man saying he's married, but his man, whatever, is his husband? Does that make any common sense for me, David W. Lankford, to be a man and refer to my spouse as my husband? Hello? Do y'all like my husband? You see how pretty my husband is? You see how sweet my... I'm the sweet one. My husband's the masculine one, but we're both men. That's so disgusting. I'm sick and tired of Cory Booker. I'm sick and tired of Biden. I'm sick and tired of Kamala Harris. All of them want to talk about the Bible, but they don't believe the Bible. Oh, Cory Booker quotes the first phrase of Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Well, let's go on with it, Cory. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So when you embrace abortion, is that sowing spiritually or is that sowing to the flesh? When you embrace same-sex marriage, is that sowing to the Spirit or is that sowing to the flesh? When you embrace homosexuality, is that sowing to the flesh or is that sowing to the Spirit? So to me, those are all elements of sowing to the flesh. And Corey, you're going to reap corruption, not only physical corruption, but spiritual eternal damnation and corruption. Moral decay brings destruction and corruption in the spirit. I thought you were talking about salvation today. I am. And if you don't repent and get right with God, you'll not partake of that eternal life with Christ. You can't stay in your sin. That's the trouble with the church today. Oh, he still loves you. Hey, I'm going to tell you the same thing. He still loves every sodomite, every adulterer, every adulteress, every fornicator, every murderer, every liar, every thief. He loves you. He absolutely loves you. But if you don't repent and get right with God, you're not going to go into the kingdom of God. How many times have I quoted 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9? Be not deceived. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Just because two men get married does not negate their sodomy. Did you hear what I said? See, they think, oh, I'm married now, so I'm not committing any ungodly act. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You've twisted, perverted the truth to the degree you've called sin righteousness. Why? Well, we can get married now. God never married two men. God never married two women. It was always male and female. And you can't show me any difference in the Bible. And you claim to be a professing Christian? You can't show me in the Bible where God ever did that. Go back to the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew and read about the Sadducees where they were engaging Christ and they said a man had a wife and he died. And then his brother married his wife and he died. And then his brother married the same woman and he died. And they said this woman went through seven men because they all died. But they all got married. It was always male and female, male and female. God never interchanged two men or two women. It was always a man, a brother, marrying his brother's wife after the brother was deceased. And their question was, when we get to heaven, whose wife will she be? Whose will she be? Christ said in Matthew 22, verse 29, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, for in heaven, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God. There's no marriage in heaven. Let me give you a little insight here. If there's no marriage in heaven, why would God have a marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven? It's It's because the marriage supper of the Lamb is on the earth. Just a little prophecy insight. People say, well, the church is going to be in heaven for 7 years at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Excuse me, Jesus just said they neither marry nor are given in marriage in heaven. Son of a gun. Never saw that before, Pastor. Nobody's ever told me that like that before, Pastor. That's why today's church is ignorant. How many times did the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, his 13 epistles, will use the phrase, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Ignorance is in full blossom. We're witnessing a bunch of blooming idiots in Christendom today. Yeah. Blooming idiots. When we get so saturated with prosperity, and I've said this after the election 3 years ago, many times God's last blessing upon Israel would be prosperity and then judgment. Bam. He drops the hammer or lets another foreign nation, government, or country come in and brutalize his people. Why? Because like he says here in Deuteronomy 32, he uses the phrase Jeshurun, meaning Israel was once upright, but now become fat, sassy, arrogant, don't need God. Don't need God. We don't need you, God. We want, you know, we are such a dumbed down, ignorant nation of people. When I was growing up in school, every one of my friends had shotguns and rifles. My papa, when I was 12 years old, took me out to hunt, showed me how to cross the fences. You know, you keep the guns, your buddy gets over the fence, you hand him the guns so nobody gets accidentally shot. You keep the bridge broke down so it can't be in a position to fire. Just all the common sense things. What's happened? We've took God out of America. We've took God out of school. You can't pray in school. You can't read your Bible in school. Listen to what I read the other day. You ready for this one? Are you ready for this one? People are now offended at the white stick man at an intersection in a downtown city when it says you can now walk and go across the intersection. The little white stick man that flashes, go, or the red stick man, stop. Well, the white stick man is offending people. Now, you have to be an imbecile. You have to be... Well, you don't have a brain to look at a stick man and say, That's as stupid as me looking at a stop sign and saying, you know what? That red offends me because it reminds me of the Cherokee Indian. So that offends me. Are you kidding me? You can't be serious, can you? Oh, I'm offended. The school teacher, she's got a black chalkboard up there, and she writes with white chalk. I know some of you probably said, you're so stupid, preacher. They don't even use chalkboards anymore. It's an analogy. It's an analogy. But that's where we are. Oh, I think we need to change the keys on the piano because some of them are white and some of them are black. But we got more white than we have black. So that's a prejudiced piano. I mean, this is how stupid this is. I'm sitting here in my studio in the pastor's office. I have a Panasonic CD player here. I have a Mackie soundboard here. I have a Tascam CD player. I have an Onkyo amplifier. Every one of them's black. The camera that I'm recording on right now is a Canon. It's black. But all of them have white letters on them. Play, ready, pause, stop, shuffle, EQ, auxiliary, mid, low, pan, gain, program, clear, search, repeat, skip, pause, stop, open, close, random. These are the things on the front of these pieces of equipment. They're all solid black, but they got white letters on them. I'm offended. Why can't they all be white? Black letters. This is what we've come to. White paper. Black ink. Let me tell you something. Satan is sitting on the wayside. He is laughing. He's mocking. He's ridiculing. He's making a fool out of America. Making a fool out of them. Uh-oh. I'm white and I got a white beard. I reckon I need to dye it. Might offend somebody. Somebody told me the other day, my beard was so well-groomed, it looked stupid. I get all sorts of emails and comments, by the way. Just to let you know, I'm always battered, tattered, torn, and bashed. But you know what? I really don't care. I mean, I'm serious. Serious. Yeah. How long does it take you to groom that beard? I promise you, I spend less time on that than you do shaving, sir. You put a guard on that beard and zip, zip, and you done trimmed that beard up. People are crazy. People are, they're carnally minded. That's your problem in America. It's carnal mindedness. It's carnality. Carnality, 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 carnality. He hurt my feelings. Why? He had a MAGA hat on. Are you kidding me? You can't be serious about this stuff. This is what we're coming. They sit around. This is why people are so weak. They're so anemic. They cry. They're on psychotropic drugs. They can't deal with anything. They need safe spaces. They need so much. They need so much. This generation would die if we had another Great Depression. Don't even know how to can a can of green beans, chicken, turkey. Don't know how to do anything. Don't know how to do it. Know how to live in the face of that phone, though. My problem is I can't use all that stuff. I don't know how to use that phone. I have to get Steven and Jasmine to help me do all sorts of stuff. Click this, click that for me. I don't know how to make it work. You know, really, I don't care how to make it work. I want to know what's important. I want to know what's important. I'll tell you what's important. Is that I walk with my Lord and Savior. That I honor and I abide by His Word. Thus, John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, it shall be done unto you. I want to live right. I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm going to fast periodically. I'm going to pray all the time. I'm going to stay in the Bible all the time. I'm going to treat my neighbor right. But I'm not going to be dumbed down to the degree that I am offended by a white stick man that says you can now walk across the street. You know, it's been said, the easiest thing in life is to find fault. Like I said, all of this equipment in here is solid black, even the camera. Even the light here, it's black. Light right there, it's black. Of course, the light's white, but the frame. This is demonic. Are you kidding me? No, I'm serious. This is demonic. This is the weapons of the enemy to confuse and brainwash humanity and dumb the people down where they can't understand anything. The devil, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Knowledge is supposed to help us. But today, I look at knowledge as if it's true knowledge, it's truth. There's the gift. One of the gifts of the nine spirit is the gift of knowledge. People today, you say anything that offended me. Don't say mankind. Say humanity. Duh, man is in humanity. Well, mankind is too masculine. All this masculinity stuff. Hey, listen, that's the way God made us. Male, female. A bull does not look like a heifer. That's all I'm going to say about that. Where's this going? It's going down a path of destruction, chaos, and ultimate ruin. Ultimate ruin. I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm not going to be a part of it. Why? It's of the world. That's worldliness. The Bible makes it clear in Acts chapter 17, we're all of one blood. Now, there are blood, different blood types, but what the life is in the blood. I don't care what color your skin is, your blood is one color, red. Just because your skin may be another color doesn't mean you have another color of blood. It's all red. Because the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Whether it's the blood of a fish, the blood of a cow, the blood of anything. What color is it? It's red. Why? That's what the life is in. We'll pick this back up Monday. Hope you're getting something out of salvation, because salvation is your eternal life in Jesus Christ. God bless you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Keep listening. I promise you, you'll grow in the Word when you listen to the voice of Evangelism International Ministries. May the Lord God of Abraham watch over you the remainder of this week and forever order your steps in His most holy word and keep you and your family until He returns in His power, in His kingdom, and in His glory. God bless you. We'll see you Monday in the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.